Kendall calls the mama, I'm sure all the handin' I just around.
Mom and Dad bought us a guitar and a bass and one amp for Christmas, and our cousin got drums. So we just showed up and started playing together, you know. And then we kind of went from there, and we never, I don't ever recall any conversation where we just said, hey, let's be in a band.
Well, we used to suck, but people couldn't stop looking, you know. I mean, it was like a car wreck, and we still have that, you know. It's like when you go by, like, hey, man, is the guy decapitated? All right, you know.
Hey, this is Rich Robinson of the Black Crowes.
And I'm Chris Robinson of the Black Crowes, and we're in the studio for Shake Your Moneymaker.
That terrific debut album, Shake Your Moneymaker, but it's certainly not without a hint of irony. At the time of their January 1990 debut, the kind of rock and roll that the Black Crowes specialize in was out of style. But Steve Huey, writing on the same AllMusic.com, explains, the Black Crowes get away with it due to sharp songwriting and an ear for strong riffs and chorus melodies, end quote. When first released in January 1990, the Black Crowes' Shake Your Money Maker debuted on the charts at number 174. Thus began, though, a 54-week extended run up the sales chart as the Black Crowes toured the whole of North America. Finally, the album peaks inside the top five a year after release. The Black Crowes were very young when Shake Your Money Maker came out. Guitarist Rich Robinson was a tender 21. A lack of consistency haunted their early live shows, enough so that the record company guy who eventually signed the Black Crowes said they kind of sucked when he first saw them perform. Here's Black Crowes singer-songwriter Chris Robinson.
Well, we used to suck, but people couldn't stop looking, you know. I mean, it was like a car wreck, and we still have that, you know. It's like when you go by, like, hey, man, is the guy decapitated? All right, you know. You know how people are. Yeah, you know.
At the rock show.
It was like, you know, look at this disaster in front of us. But there was something very energetic. We challenged people, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't we had this thing, like, even if a gig was going good, we would just... Rich would just start, we would do like a Katrina and the Wave song, just out of sheer to drive the audience, see if they, how, you know what
they
I mean?
Leave.
Just do little things, yeah. You know, we would just, or play like a 38 special song or something horrible at the time, just to, or get on stage and just like break it down, and I would just go into these drunken rants for like 20 minutes on stage, making up songs as we went along. They were really hard to watch and hard to sit through, but it was more like, almost like, performance art than a folk rock band, you know, which is basically what we were.
We'll be right back.
From the Black Crowes debut in winter 1990, that's Thick and Thin, written by Chris and Rich Robinson, who wrote 9 of the 10 songs on their debut Shake Your Moneymaker. According to Rich, he and Chris didn't actually decide to be in a band together. They just assumed it would happen.
You know, once we kind of started, we just knew that we were done for.
You know what I mean?
We're in for life.
Like a gang.
And, you know, it's we never really talked about it. We never sat around and said, well, what are we going to do, man? This would be great. What we could, you know.
We never even said, let's start a band. He just came over and played me some stuff on guitar, and I picked up some paper and started writing, you know.
Well, plus you had a bass.
Yeah.
Mom and Dad bought us a guitar and a bass and one amp for Christmas, and our cousin got drums. So we just showed up and started playing together, you know, in a band or whatever, but it was just punk rock, and then we kind of went from there, and I don't ever recall any conversation where we just said, hey, let's be in a band.
The foundation for the Robinson Brothers musical journey began with their father, Stan, a one-time folk singer, actually charted in 1959. Although Stan Robinson was out of the music business by the time the boys were born, younger son Rich says that Dad neither pushed nor hindered his guys.
He was supportive of whatever we wanted to do, but music was one thing that he always just kind of stayed out of, from my standpoint, at least. He always just kind of, if you guys are going to do it, then do it. But, you know, and I never really went up to Dad and said, hey, Dad, tell me how this works or how that is either. You know what I mean? I mean, if anything, I guess a gift or from him would be like just growing up listening to so much music and having, you know, so many records around and, you know what I mean, just allowing us the space, so to speak, instead of saying, no, you can't do that. You know, you should do this or you should play sports or you should go to college or whatever. In that sense, he kind of just let us figure it out.
I asked singer-songwriter Chris Robinson if the Black Crowes entered a different music business than their father encountered in the late 50s.
Probably. I think there is a difference now. You know, the Brill Building still existed then, you know, and his short encounter with, like, show business or whatever people call it was so much more of a control thing, whereas by the time we came around and, like, what we wanted to do was, you know, like, there are those aspects that you can get hurt, and you, I don't think it's being naive, but you want to be realistic. You know, you want to realize that record companies aren't family. You know, record companies don't understand that that's all our life's experience that helps us express, you know, as me and Rich as songwriters and as the band and what we want to give to people through our music, our fans. Record companies really don't care about that. They want a hit single, you know, and that's all they want. It is money. I mean, that's all that's in their eyes.
The music business.
Business, right. But I don't think he understood, you know, like the fierce independent side of that and that you can make what you want out of it. And if you're privileged enough to have people dig it, you never, ever have to do anything that you don't feel is right for your band.
Line.
want to. Don't you think I would? Don't you think I'd tell you, baby, if I only could? Am I acting crazy? Am I just too proud? Am I just plain lazy?
Love that song from the Black Crowes debut, Shake Your Money Maker. That's called Jealous Again. From his long hair parted in the middle down to his flared bell-bottom jeans, I just assumed back then that Chris Robinson had assimilated the fashion sense and political views of 1960s hippie parents. Not the case, says Chris Robinson.
My mom really, really didn't like hippies very much. You know, I mean, there was something like she would have like a Berkeley barb when she went out to California, and she would bring it back, and when she would go, this is it, check this out, you know. And like, if Woodstock would come on television, she would wake us up and say, hey, look, this is something that happened that was important. I wasn't there, and hippies are dirty, you know, people with no real agendas who take too many drugs. But this was a very interesting part of our culture, you know.
She must have found something positive in it. Then.
Well, you know, I mean, she...
Something must have attracted her
to wake
the kids up.
I mean, I think the main thing about...
Yeah, but she also woke us up when Princess Di got married, too, at 5 a.m. So.
Did she?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember that. She might have woke you up.
Well, she did. She woke me, yeah.
Rich always loved a beautiful wedding, you know.
Baby, not to please, oh, come on.
Putting the soul back in rock and roll, the Black Crowes from Shake Your Money Maker with Seeing Things. Up next, the Black Crowes' initial crapshoot yields five the hard way. We're talking 5 million copies sold, that is. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and check out more from the Black Crowes, including some real rarities at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with Chris and Rich Robinson for the 10th anniversary of their debut album, Shake Your Money Maker.
Welcome back in the studio. I'm Rich Robinson of the Black Crowes.
Back in the studio, I'm Chris Robinson of the Black Crowes with Redbeard.
Thanks, guys. Between 1985 and 1988, the Black Crowes were known as Mr. Crowes Garden, making somewhere between $50 and $200 a night playing clubs. As Chris Robinson remembers, it wasn't how much money you made back then that was important. It's what kind of style you had spending it.
Steve, our drummer and I, we lived in a house. We would play a gig like in Atlanta. Rich would go back to mom and dad's house. We would take the money we made and buy as much beer and liquor and whatever else we could get our hands on and go back to our house and just invite everyone that we knew at the gig over, and we would, and then the next day go to like a Braves game when it was $3 to sit in the outfield, and then till you had another gig in 2 weeks. In between then and there, you could scrape some money together to eat. But I mean, I don't know about him. We were much more irresponsible with our with our booty that we would receive after these glamorous, huge rock shows, extravaganzas, I'd call them.
At the time, George Draculius was working for the label A&M Records, and the label passed on signing the group because they didn't have that heavy metal edge which was selling a lot of records during the late 80s. To the Crow's good fortune, George Draculius eventually left A&M Records to go to work for a brand new label called Deaf American, headed by record producer Rick Rubin. Here's Chris Robinson.
He had worked with Rick when Rick had made a record with The Cult. And, well, they knew each other from college. You know, Rick started Def Jam with Russell Simmons out of his dorm room, basically. And when Rick left Def Jam and moved out to Hollywood, you know, I didn't know this then. He, you know, George said, well, if I leave A&M and come work with you, I'm bringing the Crows. You know, we were still called the Crows. That's how we were referred to. And Rick didn't like it at all. And then Rick, all he knew was that he wanted us to be like redneck band, like Confederate flags and stuff. And I'm telling him, you know, that, you know, you can't tell someone from Long Island who lives in Hollywood, who's a millionaire, that a Confederate flag doesn't mean what you think it means. You know, he wanted to find some sort of novelty aspect of it, you know, and I don't think there's anything novel about music in that sense. But still, you know, George was always in our corner as much as he could be. You know? I mean, and we went, Shake Your Moneymaker basically was a local band in Atlanta, Georgia, who really wore their influences on their sleeve because our influences were more important than what we were doing then. We were kids. Your relationship with your instrument is much different. I mean, we were songwriters and very fiercely independent, but yeah, there's, you know, Open G Stones riffs on that record. Of course. We thought we had the politics of the Clash, but we sounded like, you know, when we went to L.A., people met us for the first time after our record had been around and, you know, the little promo copies. And people thought we were in our 30s. Then they saw us and we were like in our early 20s. They couldn't match the sound and the face, which to me that's a compliment too. You know, we were singing and playing beyond our years, you know, maybe. But George was the guy who sort of kept it, or at least kept that thing, you know. I mean, we thought we'd make one record, and you get your one record, and then for the rest of your life you talk about it.
Oh yeah, she talks to angels. keeps a lock of hair in her pocket. She wears a cross around her neck. Oh yes, the hair is from a little boy. The cross from someone she has not met. Not yet. No, 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 no. She talks to the angels. Yeah, they call her out right out by her name. Ooh, ooh, angels. Don't you know that they call her out right by her name? She don't know no lover, none that I ever see. Lord only knows. Yeah, to her it ain't nothing. Yeah, to me it means, oh, it means everything. Yeah, she paints those eyes as black as night. She pulls those shades down tight. Yeah, she gives a smile when the pain comes. 'Cause the pain gonna make it, gonna make it all, make it all.
I cannot listen to The Black Crow She Talks to Angels to this day without forever favorably comparing it to another baby-faced Southern songwriter with a very old soul, Greg Allman. When Greg wrote Whippin' Post and Dreams and Midnight Rider at the same age as Chris and Rich Robinson wrote She Talks to Angels. Still to come, Chris Robinson returns in the studio for some final thoughts. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, on Twitter at Redbeard Rocks, and online at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with Chris Robinson and Brother Rich for the anniversary of their debut, Shake Your Moneymaker by the Black Crows.
Welcome back in the studio. I'm Rich Robinson of the Black Crows.
Back in the studio, I'm Chris Robinson of the Black Crows with Redbeard.
Thanks again, guys. It's the anniversary of Shake Your Moneymaker. It reminds me of the old saying that you can pick your friends, you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your relatives. So, you know, those guys are still brothers, and they have this amazing shared history. Over the course of 1990, while the Black Crows toured nonstop as their debut album rose steadily from obscurity to the top 100, then the top 50, eventually to peak inside the top 5 best-selling albums in America, a full year after release, critics tried to dismiss their appeal as retro, anachronistic, Luddite long hairs with bell-bottom fashion sense and hippie politics. But now it's ironic that the music on Shake Your Moneymaker seems timeless to me, certainly a lot less dated than practically anything else released that time. Here's Black Crowes singer-songwriter Chris Robinson.
You can name it whatever you want. You know, I have no problems being called a hippie, you know. I mean, in actuality, the Black Crowes are weird because it's like Southern hippies are different, you know. I believe in a lot of the politics of hippiedom, you know, as far as the community and as, I mean, it's hard in a capitalistic system. And I play music and I get paid for it. But I know, you know, what's going on, and you know what's important, and you know what is really being given and taken in that situation. But being Southern is also, if you can hip us to anything when it's cool and we'll take it, but if you hip us to something we don't dig, you know, man, it's pretty rough, you know. The Southern people will put it right back in your face, you know. You better be able to tell the truth, you know. And that is important. Our regional identities are being stripped away through technology, and that is really, you know, you talk about cultural things. That is horrible, you know. I mean, I did get to grow up in the South, you know. In Atlanta, Georgia, you were, you know, 20 minutes away from the best bluegrass music in the world or the best blues you've ever heard. Same music, man, different neighborhoods, you know. That's all it is.
Calls a mama, I'm sure all the hand and I just around. Action speaks loud in the words, and I'm a man of great experience. I know you got another man, but I can love you better than him. Take my hand, don't be afraid, I'm gonna prove every word I say. I'm advertising love for free, so you can place your ad free. Once I come along and down by the dozen, that ain't nothing but tears. Let me light your candle, calls a mama. I'm sure all the hand and I just around. Calls her mama, I'm sure all the hand and I just around. Calls a mama, I'm sure all the hand and I just around.
What a production. Originally done by fellow Georgian Otis Redding, that's the special horn mix of Hard to Handle by the Black Crowes, the only cover song on their debut, Shake Your Money Maker. One of the hallmarks of the band to this day has been to publicly acknowledge the blues and rock and roll continuum of their musical forefathers. Chris Robinson thinks to do otherwise shows either ignorance or disrespect, or both.
I mean, I think what happens with a lot of young bands today is it's not cool to be in. It's not cool to admit that you have influences. You know, I mean, I see things about the Black Crowes where people, we are criticized for being steeped in tradition, which to me is hilarious, because that's, if we don't know where we came from, then how do we know who we are and where we're going? That's simple. And musically, you know, that is really not being selfish and getting your ego together and not selling yourself short. I mean, look at the, you know, you got all these guys that had big hairdos and were playing, you know, ridiculous heavy metal music, singing songs about nothing. And now that that trend is gone, they've all shaved their hair off. They wear shorts and they all pierce their face. And now they're punk rock all of a sudden, you know. Well, great, but that's fashion. You know, there's a big difference between expression and true giving of oneself through his music and just chasing your tail like a puppy dog. And that's watching TV every day and picking up fashion magazines and believing. You know, it's like kids, you know, because of TV, there's kids just mimicking what they see on television in a, you know, 17,000-18,000 seat hall. And they got, you got bands on TV who they, all they know, the last thing that, you know, they don't know about those type of things. So they just think it's great. They're getting paid. Why should they have to think about their audience? They're not a part of their audience anymore.
It's a reminder of earlier but no less notorious times, such as when the band got thrown off the 1990 ZZ Top tour for lead singer Chris Robinson dissing the Texas Trio's corporate beer sponsor. Or, staying with the beer theme here, when Chris got popped for after-hours consumption in a Colorado convenience store. And the Black Crowes concert in Houston, which got stopped completely and canceled mid-show when Chris tangled with whom he felt to be overzealous concert security. You know, the good old days.
Okay, so you got on the rocket ride. Hang on, you had a blast. People gave something to you. They went to the stores with their money and they bought your records. Granted, it's a very special thing. I will never take it for granted, you know. That's when you really realize, okay, the only reason they like me is because I'm a good writer and I'm a good singer. We put together, he's a good writer, he's a great guitar player. We put together a great, what we think is a great band. Now, after that, you're just a person, man. You know, I mean, deceit, you know, all these things that happen to you as an individual, the things you want, problems with your family, problems with your friends, all the same. You're not immune to anything, you know. And
if anything, it sometimes gets
worse.
More complex.
Yeah, you know. And within that complexity, I think you have to really stay centered and focused. And that focus for the Black Crowes has always been the music and the band and playing. And again, we like to go out on the road and give back to what everyone has given to us. I know that sounds like something Sammy Davis probably would have said, you know, in between Paul Moles or something. It is true, you know.
Yeah, of course.
And I think sometimes these young bands, they get their dream and they get all this recognition and they get on that little celebrity train and they think that's what's important, you know. Let's all sit around and, I mean, just look at Lollapalooza, you know. I mean, like every band fighting backstage, you know, and it's like, could one of them bust out a 12-bar blues, one band on that tour? Not that that's important, you know what I mean? Because a lot of people think, who cares about the blues, man? I want to watch Nine Inch Nails. Well, I like Nine Inch Nails, but, you know, I there's nothing Trent Reznor's talking about that Lightning Hopkins didn't talk about. And Lightning Hopkins looked cooler, you know?
Down the line. of ever losing faith in you. All right. Well, I never felt like smiling. Sugar wanna kill me, yeah. Oh, yeah. Got me loose, left me laughing. Singing songs ain't got no regret.
It's a real rarity there. Exclusive on the anniversary of the Black Crowes Shake Your Money Maker. I'm Redbeard, back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio, thanking my guests, Rich Robinson and also Chris Robinson. The Black Crowes gave us a lot of great music. In the Studio was written and produced by yours truly for Bearded Fish Productions. Copyright 2015, all rights reserved. Transcription, Jane Carpenter Brunet. Theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net.